What you believe will determine how you will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us of why we are important to God.
And I would say to you that sometimes ministry is messy, and sometimes we just want to label people and be done with them. But today we see that we serve a Savior that was willing to help a guy who wasn't really that friendly, who wasn't really the person that others would have said is essential. But you see, to Jesus, everybody is essential.
Do you doubt the value of your contribution? If so, you're not alone. Some of the greatest Bible heroes were considered non-essential in the world's eyes. In today's series, Essential Servants, we will learn about God's essential servants and how they made a difference. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Because we will become what we believe, our beliefs will prove to be a barrier or a vehicle to our success. God's desire is for us to go higher, to rise above our obstacles, and to live in health, abundance, and victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The Essential Wisdom of James.
And as he began to grow in understanding, he became the outspoken person against slavery in England. He began to fight against slavery. Why? Because as he understood the gospel, he understood that everyone is equal in the sight of God, and that everyone has the opportunity and should have the opportunity to be saved and should be loved by God's people. And he began to fight for the abolition of slavery. And after 15 years of defeat, slander, and even physical attack, after 15 years, the British Parliament voted to end slavery by a vote of 283-16. Now, that happened because two men realized they were sinners, turned to Christ as Savior, and the gospel began to change their life, and they began to realize the sin of their ways. And that's something that every one of us can experience in Jesus Christ. And so here is what James gives as his result of this Jerusalem council. First, he says, God is calling a people for his name. In verse 14, the Bible says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Do you know what we are this morning? We are not sitting here fundamentally as this ethnic group or that ethnic group. We are here as the family of God. We are a people called out for his name. We are Christians. Now, you can do all kinds of studies, and people get on these ancestry.com and so forth. And my wife said, you want to do that? I said, no, I already know. I'm Heinz 57. I'm, you know, French, Dutch, British, Irish. I mean, it doesn't matter to me what I am. What matters to me is that I am saved. That I'm saved. And this is the fact that God is calling out a people for his name. And I'm not saying that we should deny or be embarrassed by our heritage, just the opposite. But let me say to you, your identity, number one, should be, I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I am a part of the body of Christ. I've been called out unto his name, and the other parts of my history are interesting to me. But there's only one thing that is vital to me, and that is that I am a Christian. I've been called out to his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Revelation 7:9, speaking of the Gentiles in the tribulation. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. I got to tell you something. Heaven's going to be a very diverse place. There's going to be people there from every tribe and every tongue. But I'm going to tell you this too. It's not going to matter where you came from, and it's not going to matter who your granddaddy was or your daddy was, whether they were a preacher or a common criminal. All that's going to matter is that we are there with Jesus. That's all that's going to matter. And that's why Christians, when they are right with God, don't spend their time yelling at other people. They spend their time telling other people how to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. The year was in the late 1700s. The place was India. The missionary was William Carey. William Carey He was a shoe repairman in England when God called him to preach. His first sermon was so bad, the church asked him to never do that again. William Carey was discouraged. His pastor put his arm around him. He said, "Let me help you. I'll help you." And he began to teach him how to preach. And he preached his next message, and he preached a message about, he said, "I'll be willing to go down in the basket if you'll hold the ropes. In other words, I'll be a missionary if you'll send me." And William Carey went to a faraway land, to a people with a different skin color and different languages. He spent 42 years in India. He translated the Bible into 25 languages. Why? Because the church, when it gets it right, knows that every soul matters to God. And this is what James, the pastor, said. He said, "Listen, God is calling out a people for his name." And not only that, he said, "God is calling all men." In verses 16 and 17, he gives an Old Testament illustration, I believe, from the book of Hosea. And he says here, maybe Amos, he says, "Listen, God has promised that he will build again the tabernacle of David." And in verse 17, "that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who doeth all these things." You see, if you look back into the Old Testament, remember the Abrahamic covenant. God said, "I'm going to bless you like the stars of heaven, Abraham. I'm going to bless all people through you." And then he said again to David, he said, "All people are going to be blessed through you." You see, God's promise from the Old Testament to the New Testament is that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Missionary Karen Watson left her home church in Bakersfield many years ago, knowing the cost of following Jesus. And that's why before she went to Iraq to serve as a missionary, she left a sealed letter with her pastor. She went to provide relief in the name of Jesus Christ. One day the pastor heard that her life had been lost due to a tragic bombing. And so he opened the letter that she had given, and the letter said, "You're only reading this letter if I have died. To obey was my objective. To suffer was expected. His glory, my reward." You see, when the church gets it right, we realize that everyone deserves the opportunity to hear Christ, that every person is valued by Jesus Christ, and we treat everyone with that same value and dignity. They are people for whom Jesus died. God is calling a people for his name. God is calling people in Iraq and Iran. God is calling people in Mexico and Africa and America. He's calling a people for his name. And then thirdly, God desires that we trouble not those from different backgrounds. Listen to the pastor here, verse 19. "Wherefore my sentence is." Now, this was an apostolic meeting. I do not claim apostolic authority, but every once in a while I'd like to stand up and say, "All right, listen right here. Here's my sentence. It's gospel truth. But I will tell you today, my opinion, my sentence does not matter. But when this book speaks, we better listen, church." And James says, "Here's my sentence. This is my decision, that we trouble not them." Now, the context here is the believers. He's saying to these Pharisaical believers, he's saying, "Listen, stop the prejudice, stop the racism, stop troubling them just because they're from the Gentile world. My sentence is that they are welcome." And friend, we are to reach all men. That's why we have soul winning on Saturday. That's why we have bus ministry. And any honest observer of this church would say, they don't just go to some neighborhoods, they go to every neighborhood. And they don't just knock on some doors, they knock on every door. And we're glad for whoever wants to come to Lancaster Baptist Church. We don't want to trouble them away from God. We want to love them to God. And the fact is that in verse 22, the Bible says, "Then pleased it to the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas of Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters after this manner, and they explained to the Galatian churches, listen, God has spoken in this matter, and you are welcome, and people from all different backgrounds are welcome." Now think about James. This essential wisdom that James had, this wisdom to say, "Here is my sentence, don't trouble them." What biblical pillars brought him, guided him to that decision? Because if we're going to make wise decisions, it's because we're following biblical guidance. It's because we're endeavoring to follow the will of God in these matters. And as I said, we need wisdom today more than ever. I want to give you, as I close this morning, 7 biblical responses for the church to racism. 7 biblical responses for the church to racism. You may want to jot these down. I'll probably post them on some social media tomorrow because we need to remember these 7. Is everybody with me this morning? All right, here we go. Number 1, I believe these are the principles that guided James and the early church. Number 1, we are all one race. It is the human race. We are all one race. Acts 17:26, and hath made one blood of all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. God says, all of you are from the Adamic bloodline, and all of you need the redemption that I have offered through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2, we are all created in the image of God. Every man, woman, boy, and girl created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. In our image. Now, let me help you with something. We are created in God's image. I want you to say this with me this morning. I am created in God's image. Let's say that together. I am created. Every child needs to know that. I'm created in God's image. And let me tell you something else. God don't make no junk. Don't you apologize for being black or white or brown or whatever you are. God created you. God created you in His image. And every one of us are the unique creations of God. And I'm saying to you that life matters to God. All life matters to God. I'm saying that little children with Down syndrome matter to God. I'm saying that people matter to God. And we don't need to go around apologizing or criticizing. We need to go around rejoicing that we're created in the image of God. So we are one race, the human race. We are created in the image of God. Thirdly, God is no respecter of persons. By the way, you don't mind if I preach the Bible this morning, do you? God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11. For there is no respect of persons with God. God loves all people. Now listen, God loves criminals. God loves police officers. God loves all people, and so should we. We should have a heart for them. Yes, a criminal should be punished. If it's a police officer who has committed a crime, he should be punished. But let me say this morning, we don't need to defund the police. We need to remove the transgressors, but God has ordained law and order. Let me just quickly say, and I may preach this in another sermon. God ordained 3 institutions. He ordained the family, Genesis 2. He ordained government, Genesis 9. And He ordained the church, Ephesians 5. Amen. Some of these subversive groups that want to get into the dialogue right now of all these issues are anti-family. They are not for the biblical family. They are allying with the gay family movement. They are anti-government. They want to defund what God ordained for safety. And they are oftentimes anti-church, even telling young people, you tell the church, you tell the pastor, and so forth. There's a spirit. And what I want you to recognize is that everyone should exercise their freedom of speech, but all of us should be careful about any group that is anti-family, anti-government, or anti-church. These are things that God has ordained. In fact, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 13 for just a moment. Romans 13. God is no respecter of persons. He wants everyone to be treated equally, but He also has ordained government to help with that. And I realize sometimes government gets it wrong and there are needs for adjustments, but it doesn't mean we abolish government or law enforcement. Romans 13:3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. In other words, the only person that really is of terror concerning the rulers are those that are doing wrong. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. In other words, The police officers, for example, they're there to deal with the evil or the sin in society. If there's a police officer that breaks the law, that police officer deserves his punishment. He needs to be removed. But we don't need to remove all law enforcement because of the sins of one. But the fact of the matter is that we still need to have authority respected and order in our society today. So God is no respecter of persons. Jackie Robinson once said, "I'm not concerned with your liking or disliking me. All I ask is that you respect me as a human being." And may I say that everyone deserves that respect. Number four, we are to love our neighbors. What is the Christian's response to racism? We are one race. We are all created in God's image. God is no respecter of persons. We are to love our neighbor. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might, and thy neighbor as thyself. James 2, 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10? The Levite and the priest, they came by, they passed by the man that was fallen in the road. It was the Samaritan. It was the man with the Gentile blblood that saw him and carried him and carried for his wounds and left provision over for his wounds. It was the Samaritan that was a type of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. That's a picture of the grace of God. That's a picture of loving our neighbor. And every one of us should know and love our neighbors. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know who lives to the left or to the right of you, but you should know who they are and you should love them where they are. And we are commanded to love our neighbor. You don't have to agree with your neighbor on every little thing, but you should love your neighbor. And this is the command of God. And this is one of the great healings for racism, is that we would love with a biblical love. Notice number five, we are to bear one another's burdens. The Christian's response to racism is that we are to bear the burdens of others. Now, you may not understand their burden. I find that sometimes people are even offended if you say, "Well, I know how that feels." I'll say, "You don't know how that feels." So I stop saying, "You know how that feels." And I've learned in whatever you say, even this message, it won't be enough or it'll be too much, but the Lord led me to speak this message, so I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. And what I want you to understand is that you may not always understand, but if someone is hurting and they're telling you they're hurting and they're telling you this is troublesome, then you should let them know that you'll pray for them and that you bear the burden with them and you love them. And some of you others might say, "But I don't feel like I'm understood." And maybe you'll never be fully understood, but there is one who understands. He was crucified on a cross. He was that hated, and he loves you, and he understands your burden today. And sometimes that's what we need to do, is point people to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, compassion is your hurt in my heart. And we need more compassion today. Kindness is our response to the grace that God has shown to us. It's when I say, "Look, I didn't deserve forgiveness. I'm not all that great. I'm of this one sinful race. I fell short, but God loved me, and God gave me an opportunity by his grace." Number six, God desires that all would be saved. We must never forget that. God desires that all would be saved. I remember when my family moved to Korea. Believe it or not, I had a lot of hair back then, and it was kind of blondish brown, and my nose was bigger than the average Korean. They used to call me a Kojang-e, which means big nose. That's what they call me. I mean, I remember living in a land of 40 million people where I was one of the very few that looked different. And sometimes those kinds of feelings can reverberate, and people can say that that'll carry with them for their entire life. But do you know why we went to Korea? We went there because people different from us needed to know the one that could save their soul and take them to heaven. "But ye shall receive power," in Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto all the world." God desires that all should be saved. And the voice of sin is loud, but the voice of forgiveness is louder. And what I'm saying today, there's a lot of screaming voices out there, but somebody's got to preach the gospel of peace through forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the responsibility of the church today, to preach Christ. Thank God that we have the freedom of speech, and someone may want to use that to go out and march or something. But let me ask you, Christian friend, are you marching for the gospel? Do you want to make a statement or do you want to make a difference? If you want to make a difference, let me encourage you to join the bus ministry and actually go into the homes of some people. Look at, we hear a lot of people talk about nobody cares, everybody hates, all the rest of this. Hey, how about making a difference? How about being a missionary? Because I don't see any of those that are screaming saying, Lord, I'll go to Africa and be a missionary, or I'll go work on a bus route, or I'll help someone else. Listen, let's not just be virtue signaling. Let's be salvation sending as a church. Giving the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're for all people, but that's not enough just to say it. We must take the gospel to all people so that every one of them know how they can be saved. God desires that all should be saved. How many of you know that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. God wants everybody to come to repentance. And then number seven, our seventh response is this. We can be brothers and sisters through Christ. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Jesus Christ. Now, I guess I've lived a sheltered life because I've lived in the shelter of God's love and in the midst of the family of God all my life. I think there's probably been some times when I've known some hurt. I remember our bus ministry one year. I was in the fifth grade. I was sitting on a bus, San Jose, California, very Hispanic neighborhood. We had that particular day a lot of guests, and I walked off the bus, and a bunch of boys got around me, and they surrounded me, and I mean, they kicked me and hit me and bloodied my lip and bloodied my nose, and I ran into my dad's office. He was the pastor of the church. There was a deacon there, Fred Castlebear. I'll never forget him, and he saw what I looked like. He went and got those kids, and boy, he gave them a talking to. And that was back in about 1972 or 73 or something like that. I remember that day to this moment. But guess what? I'm not going to let the devil take a moment like that and tell me, well, I'm never going to tell Hispanic people about Jesus Christ. There's 1,000 Hispanic people in our church that we love from the very depths of our hearts. I cannot let the wrong actions of some people cause me to not love people and bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants everyone to be saved. And we can be brothers and sisters through Christ. Some of our dearest friends are over in the Spanish department today. You may not know this, and I'll not delineate it. I've had times when I've had difficulty with some law enforcement, but every year we thank those who serve our community. You may find this hard to believe. I've had difficulty from lots of people. Can you find that hard to believe? You want to read my mail just one week? But I must keep the heart of Christ if I'm to be an effective servant, and so must all of us. And so God's response to racism is that we would follow His word. We are one race. We are created in the image of God. God is no respecter of persons. He commands us to love our neighbors. He commands us to bear their burdens. He tells us that He desires all men to be saved. And He tells us that we can be brothers and sisters through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, a very simple conclusion. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, won't you come and trust Him today? He loves you. He shed His blood for you. And if you do know Christ as your Savior, then may I say to you this morning, spread the love of Christ this week. Share the gospel of Christ. Bear someone's burden. Lift someone up and let them know that God loves them, and so do you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.